All right, here we go. This is 89.
Blow up of the week.
Yeah. All right, here we go. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom.
Who's the best show here?
Jack Show!
Who's the best show here?
Jack Show!
All right, that's
pretty
good. That's the best one yet.
Pizza.
Yeah, I got to put on my good sweatpants.
Big old show time!
You were making it for young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a limousine tech show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that a Lincoln bath. But the strolling go direct to DLMTS.org. And IC channels at LinuxLink.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, cause the castle's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 889 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show today, we have Pat.
Happy New Year.
We have Joel. Joel?
Good evening.
And Joe.
I'm here.
And Fly
I'm
Rich.
Here.
From the Hughes Compound Southern Command.
And then I'm glad. Have you fully recovered, sir? And feeling
good?
Yeah,
last day of the steroid was Sunday, so my voice is back, for the most part. Yeah, I've been fully recovered for a while, just didn't sound like it.
What, did your mother-in-law have it too?
He sounded like an old man.
Everybody got it.
Okay.
So, I mean, if you want me to talk about it, I can run through the timeline.
Oh, I just want to make sure everybody was okay.
Yeah, I thought everybody's good. My in-laws, I hate how this sounds. I'm going to say it, but they're not the healthiest people. And we had always thought when my daughter had a roommate at college come down with it, she was worried about, bringing COVID home and killing grandma and grandpa. So whatever version of COVID we got wasn't really strong, but it spread like mad. Like it really ripped right through us. We were exposed to it on the 9th. I started feeling upper respiratory type infection on the 11th. So that was like Friday evening. Saturday, Sunday, I was in bed with flu symptoms. My wife was completely free of any symptoms until Monday. And she was with the in-laws on Saturday and Sunday, the 11th and 12th. I'm sorry, the 12th and 13th. And they got it then. And I didn't realize anything was going on until my wife had the flu symptoms I did, and she lost smell and taste. My daughter had severe headache, like no flu symptoms, just severe headache, but lost smell. And I got pneumonia, double pneumonia. And I was in the hospital on the 27th and 8th for like 48 hours of IV meds. So I was on remdesivir, an antibiotic, and a steroid. And apparently remdesivir is like a arthritis type drug. I guess it decreases swelling. I've had no back pain or joint pain. Like I'll have pain in my hips or so. I've had zero frickin' pain since then. So it's pretty exciting.
Zero pain is always a plus.
Oh my gosh, yeah, like back pain. I always have back pain, lower back pain. And if I don't sit with the precise good posture, I've had zero issues since, I'm assuming it was the remdesivir that did it, because my wife said it probably wasn't the steroid I was taking.
Was it at least a good steroid?
I don't know.
Did you get some lift in while you were at it?
Yeah, no, I didn't do any of that. No, I really haven't worked out since December 9th, so I'm looking to get back into it because I did move my daughter to college this past weekend, but I had a hand truck and dollies, and we're right by the elevator on both ends, so that was real good. So I was worried, coming off of having pneumonia, that I would overexert myself. So I've been feeling good and no issues. Just probably have zero endurance,
Well, we're all super glad to hear you're doing better.
Well,
Yeah, we
thanks,
are.
Thanks. Yeah, so I'm looking to do some bike riding or some elliptical at the gym.
I've actually been doing quite a bit of bike riding. But the gyms here still aren't open, and even if they were, I wouldn't go.
Yeah, and all right, so let me just say this to people. Don't take my case of COVID as an example, because no. I know numerous people that have spent, you know, 30, 60 days in the hospital, and they have 50% oxygen saturation. So there's the strain I got that was no big deal. And then there's a strain that other people are getting, and it's life-altering.
I have a friend whose mom just died.
Yeah, so there's...
COVID.
It's no effing joke. You know, my family, God bless, has skated by very easily. But it's not like my wife and I are super healthy, because my in-laws got it also, and they are not super healthy. And they've had basically zero symptoms.
I'm glad, man. Thank goodness. That must have been scary as hell.
You know, I had 2 days of flu-like symptoms, and Monday morning I was back at work, of course, remote, but, cause we've been remote for like 9+ months or more. So I really didn't even think anything of it.
Were you still required to, quarantine afterwards?
Yeah, well, we quarantined, you know, once we realized what was going on, it's like, whoop. And I wasn't going out of the house anyhow. So, yeah, we quarantined, and, it's, you know, they say 10 days after symptoms that you're not contagious. So now I was still, testing positive, because basically the 12th and 13th is when I had it, you know, full on. And 21st and 27th, I still tested positive. And my actual last test was inconclusive. Basically, they run 3 different tests. Like, so we went to CVS, and they run 3 different tests. And I think 2 were positive and 1 was negative, which they call inconclusive. So it's possible I'm still shedding the RNA, but I'm not contagious. Or when I took the test, the last test.
Interesting.
So, are they saying you, I assume, no longer need the vaccine?
Well, okay, so now that's a whole nother discussion, because there's differing opinions on this, whether you're, have resistance
you were already
for 30,
exposed
60...
to the proteins.
Right, but they're saying it may only be up to 90 days.
And they're saying that the vaccine lasts longer, I assume?
Yeah, yeah. So, anyhow, my opinion on this, I've had it. Let everybody else get the vaccine first, because, you know, whether you're in the healthcare profession or, you know, a higher risk category, I'd rather all of these other people get the vax before, you know, somebody my age does.
Right. But I basically said the same thing. So I will get it eventually, but I'm not gonna get it ahead of somebody who's, you know, in their 60s or 70s who are much more at risk than I am.
Well, that's where the prioritization's already sitting, right? I mean, it's going healthcare workers, elderly. And then hopefully frontline workers, and then everybody else.
Yep. But IT workers, I believe, are actually one of the first list, if I remember right.
Only the ones that got to do it in person.
I have to go find it, right?
I mean, I shouldn't need a vaccine next week or anything. I'm not planning on leaving the house.
So here's the funny thing, is my work, I do IT for a hospital, and they strongly... encouraged us to get the flu vaccine, and they worded it in such a way, don't be the person that, you know, doesn't get it, just do it, you know, like, don't make the, because I have to do extra paperwork if you say no, kind of thing. So I was kind of laughing. I'm like, haha, you dumb fill in the blank, I got the flu anyhow. And well, no, I didn't get the flu, I got COVID, you know.
Well, You got covered by a blanket clause. A clause that covered everybody.
Now, I don't know. I'm real sure my daughter didn't get the flu vaccine. My wife probably did get it because she works at a hospital also. So I don't know if that, but I would have to ask, to figure out, cause I couldn't say we got a milder form of it because we had the flu vaccine. I don't know if I could say that outright.
Right. I don't think you can, but anyway.
Yeah, I don't think that there's a correlation there.
Anyway, ooh, that reminds me. I need to.
Since you work at a hospital, though, isn't particularly your wife? Isn't she up for getting the? Well, I guess maybe not because she had been exposed. But wouldn't they be giving her the vaccine
pretty early?
Well, she
doesn't see patients. You know, she does risk management at the hospital. Oh. So, you know, she's just in an office.
Right.
Oh, all right. Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Joel? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off.
The only thing I was going to say is, are we ready to move on? I think we are.
Yep. Yeah. We plowed this field.
Well, the one thing that I need to do this week is I need to go down to the – well, I need to find out if I can actually do that because I got a – we got the invoice – not the invoice, but what it would cost to do the network drops. We talked about that last week. We're going to plan on paying that Friday.
$500, right?
Yeah, it's $540 for the four
$500
drops.
$500, right?
So, yep. Yep. Right. And they'll do all the work. They'll put the panels in and all that. So basically I'll have four jacks in my office and then, one in each bedroom and one in the living room. So all those will be wired, but need to find out if they'll let me drop off. It's one of those things where I'd rather drop off a $540 check in person instead of send it through the mail, you know, especially with how reliable our mail has been.
Do it by Zelle.
This is an electrician. They're probably not going to take Zelle. but in any event, and I would say that's part of that will come from my stimulus check because for some reason we still got a stimulus check. So I'm like, I'm certainly not going to give it back. But it's one of those things where I wish that if they do another round, which is sounding like they might, I wish they would give people the option, do you want it or not? You know?
I very much agree with you on that. Look, my wife and I haven't missed a day of work. We haven't missed a paycheck. We have no need of other people's money.
Right. I'd rather give it to the person who can't do their job, like a restaurant worker or something like that, like my nieces and nephews. But, you know,
did he get you, Rich?
No, I'm here.
So.
Oh,
no, I'm just saying, like, I haven't missed a paycheck. My wife hasn't missed a paycheck. Sending us money is the dumbest thing on the planet.
Yeah, and I'm right there with you, Rich. I just wish that they give people the option. Because the one thing that I don't like about it is that I worry about I don't want my son or my grandkids to have to pay for this stuff.
They're paying for everything else the federal government's doing right now.
I don't want to say, right? I mean, that's the thing. It's not like our government really has this money to dole out. They're just giving it out anyway.
I just wish they didn't spend 70% of it offshore. That's the big deal.
But, so that'll be taken care of.
Well, you know what you could do with that money, Joel? You know what you could do with that money? You could roll it right back into spending it at your local store
location.
He
could put it
right
into trying to get his house done
which,
on time.
Which I was going to say, which I kind of did in a lot of cases. It's like,
yeah, so.
like I forget what it was, like Friday, I'm getting ready to go to the store, I go put my shoes on, which are only like a couple months old, and there's a hole in the side of it already. So it's like, what did I do last weekend? I bought another pair of shoes, and then—
Wait a second, what are you doing wearing shoes? Shouldn't you be indoors?
Because I gotta go out every once in a while, like to go get supplies and— See, well, and that kinda goes back to something that I would like to discuss a little bit is like, when you do the, like, the curbside pickup thing, one of my biggest annoying things is kind of when I, now granted, some of this is on me, but, like, when I forget, when I put something specific on my list and say, I want this particular item, if I don't want a replacement, I need to make sure that I check that it, to just, if you don't have it, don't give it to me. Because a lot of times when I put stuff on my list like that, like, I like flavored coffee creamer. It's just one of the things I like with my coffee. But I only like certain brands. Like, the ones I like usually have milk and cream in it. So I want a vanilla Coffee Mate Natural Mix, or Natural Bliss, which is milk and cream based. They couldn't find it or they were out of it, so they gave me like International Delight, and that usually has like soy and it's nasty. I won't drink it. And so it's like, now granted, Kroger's will generally take it off right then and there. So I usually don't have to pay for it if they do, they're really good at letting you know, when they replace something. But usually if I do it, I gotta do that. And that's kind of one of the reasons why I just go ahead and mask up and go, to the store anyway. And I usually try and, go like later, like almost right up to closing time so there's less people. I'd go even later, but the latest anybody's open until it's midnight.
You ordered a neck massager and got a neck massager, right? Was that it?
No, nothing like that.
No. I have
it's
a question
certain,
for you,
certain
though.
Foods, you know?
In regards to that, two things. You're right. When I do it, and it's Instacart, right?
The ones I've tried was Kroger has their own. So I just put the order in.
I drive
to Kroger,
but
park
it's
out
not
in the parking lot, home, and that's it. No, it's not. They don't deliver it.
Right, but it's not
that service. Okay. It does. I have to go get it.
You have to go get what?
The food. So basically, I put the order in, and it's curbside pickup.
Right. Are you sure it's not powered by Instacart, though?
Yes, I'm very sure it's not powered by Instacart. It's their own app.
Because the Kroger around here is powered by Instacart. Like Food Lion, Wegmans, Kroger, Harris Teeter, you order it through their website, but it's powered by Instacart.
That's interesting. I never ordered
here.
Via the website. I always
and
have
the problem
app.
That,
yeah, I always have the app.
And the problem I always run into, right, is not, like, everything works usually just fine. No problem ordering. They'll let me know when they're substituting. I'll get a message every time they either substituted or refunded something. And they say, with an option to either request something different or if it's to approve it or whatever. And usually I approve it, but sometimes like when they refund it, cause like, order like sliced turkey from the deli and they're like, well, we don't have sliced turkey today. So there's no substitute. And I'm like, well, then just give me ham instead, you know, sliced ham or whatever, something like that. I've been having a problem, and it seems to be with Instacart specifically, working through like Food Lion, that when I try to go searching through their system to find a replacement, it doesn't work. And I thought it was Firefox that was causing the problem. But it's just like, it just doesn't work. It used to work, then it stops working.
I
then
thought it works if you use Vivaldi.
And then it's
if
like
you use
stops
Vivaldi,
working.
It'll work fine.
If you use the Vivaldi really? Browser. Do they still make that browser?
I don't know. I've tried different browsers. I've tried Firefox. Huh. I've tried Chrome. On my phone, it's like, it's just really weird on different systems, and they all end up like doing the same thing. Like for some reason, it just right. stops working. And then like a week or two later, it's back to working properly again.
Yeah. Now every once in a while, they may not have the size of what I ordered, but they'll give me the next size up. Like, I think I did that with, like, salad dressing or something one time. I didn't want the super large bottle of something I use very rarely, you know. So it's like I wanted the small bottle, and they sent me the big bottle, you know, or something like that. You know, that kind of stuff. Or now hey, I was talking with somebody online this week, and they said one time they ordered sour cream and they gave them cottage cheese, and I'm like, that's not even the same
no.
thing. I'm like, it's because of stupid crap like that. I'm just I'll just go. And then other times I've ordered something like I like to use when I make an espresso drink, I like to use a sugar-free flavoring syrup. So I say I want the sugar-free salted caramel. And they'll say, ain't got it. No substitute. I'm like, okay. But then I'll go to the store for something else. I'll go directly into the store, and I go through the coffee aisle, and there it is. It's like they had it, just the fool that was putting the order together couldn't find it. So it's like, it's
not
irritating.
I've had problems a few times. I've had a few times where, like, I'll order cilantro and get Italian parsley, or get Italian parsley, order Italian parsley, get cilantro. So I usually, if I'm really concerned about getting or not, I solve that problem. I solve the problem by ordering one of each, and then I usually get one of each at that point.
Granted, this is first world problems, but it's like, it's still irritating.
Yeah. But 99% of the time, like, I'm like, whatever they have, whatever I've ordered, if they have it, I get it, and I've been happy. You know, and I don't care.
Yep. Yep. But yeah, it's strange. Or like the other night I ordered Taco Bell or something, and they brought.
You got Pizza Hut.
No, they brought me, it was the right thing for the most part. All right. I ordered like a nacho fry box or something goofy like that, you know? But they let you select the things that go in it. So it was the right product, but all the things that went with it were wrong. Like the drink was like Gatorade G2 pink lemonade or, and instead of the nacho, nacho cheese, Doritos Locos Taco, it was a soft taco. It's like, I mean, how hard is it to get this crap right?
Sounds like you got somebody else's order.
Oh, I guarantee you that's what it was. But now, generally not.
Did you order
through
their
app? I've had a couple times where, yeah, through Uber Eats. Yeah, a couple times I'd order something and they screwed it up or forgot to put something in the bag. And then when I go into the app and say, hey, they didn't bring this, they refund me the whole order. Like two Mondays in a row, my dinner was free because they refunded the whole order except for their fees, which I'm totally fine with. You know, cause Uber is the one that's delivering it. They're not the ones that make it. So,
yeah, even with portions missing, I bet you still ate the rest of it.
Yeah, I did. You know, I mean, and it's starting to, just say maybe I didn't need that extra thing I ordered, you know, but I don't know.
Joe, you say that like there's something at Taco Bell you wouldn't eat.
Trying to think. No, if they sent me the wrong thing, I'd probably eat that too.
Yeah, I know, right? I'll say it's not the best Mexican food, if you want to call it that. But
especially since they destroyed, you know, 3/4 of their menu that was actually good.
Right? Like the Mexican pizza.
The grilled stuffed burrito.
Mm-hmm. And then one time I ordered they had the, like, one of their specials, like, not this past month, but the month before, was the toasted cheddar chalupa. I ordered that, and I got something else.
Yeah, unless you're after a really basic taco or a really tiny burrito, it's not worth it to go there anymore. Yeah.
With Taco Bell? I haven't been to Taco Bell.
I'll
just
make my own tacos.
Yeah, damn it. Yeah,
and burritos. Yeah.
Make your own tacos.
Yeah. Grow your own beans.
That's too much like
grinding.
Or better yet, get some hot dogs and
raise your own
sick
lives.
I'll just get some cans of refried beans. And some cheese, and I'll make bean burritos. It don't take much.
I will say one thing.
We'll probably be having bean burritos for lunch in a few days.
I'll tell you what I'm having for lunch tomorrow.
I might cook myself up a bean burrito right after this podcast.
There you go.
I'm a little hungry.
The windows.
Have beans for dinner.
Huh?
Make sure you crack the window so you don't gas out your freaking sandwich.
That sounds like a problem for them. I breathe filtered air when I sleep.
Yeah, that's
what I said. I found something interesting that every once in a while I'll use for my lunch. There is these things I found in the deli. It's called, the name brand is Folio. And essentially what it is a cheese wrap. So basically, it's a wrap made out of cheese. Right? There's nothing, you know, it's just the wrap portion of it, not the filling. So you can fill it with whatever you want. So like, and they got cheddar cheese ones and, Parmesan cheese ones. So if you're doing keto, they'd be friendly for that. And lower carbs and all that
fat-free
jazz.
Fat-free cheeses? Oh no, if it's keto, then it's not fat-free.
No. But I don't know if it's actually keto or not. All I know is it's lower carb and it works for me.
Yeah, I get the fat-free cheeses anymore. And I know the cholesterol numbers probably aren't reflected accurately and don't mean what I'm told that they mean.
Right.
But I have to work with my doctor.
Yeah.
Not like VA is going to give me a different one.
Now, I'm going to have to try it. I'm reading through it, and on their website, and there's things that says, crisp it in your microwave, so I assume, like, you can make a bowl, like a bowl out of it. Just put it in a bowl and microwave it until it gets crispy.
I had some homemade protein ice cream earlier.
There you go.
And then I had tortilla pizza earlier.
That sounds like the struggle pizza.
Well, you just, you know, take a tortilla, you crisp it on one side, you flip it over, some pizza sauce and some fat-free cheese and a little bit of chicken breast, and it's delicious.
Or turkey pepperoni would work with that, too.
Yeah, turkey pepperoni would work. But I tend to like the less processed meats.
I actually got some salami in there. Now, the one thing I need to look at is I bought one of them big packages of a spring mix. And so I'll essentially, when I make a wrap out of that cheese, the cheese folio stuff, I'll, like throw in like a good chunk of that, mix. It's like baby spinach and a few other, kind of leafy greens. And then whatever lunch meat I got, and then maybe some like, maybe a little mayo or some, ranch dressing or some sort of sauce of sorts. And then I'll wrap it up. So, and it's okay. It's not what I prefer, but it works. You know, it fills my belly at lunchtime and it's quick and easy. So.
Since we're talking.
Tell us, Dan.
I was going to say.
About your air fryer.
Since we're talking about it, food.
Good segue.
Yeah. Well, Saturday, it arrived. It is a New Wave Bravo XL. Built as an air fryer and oven with temperature probe. I would probably say this, like I said before, is more like a convection toaster oven.
How much did it run you?
It was 140? 139, I think it was.
So, it's a convection oven, and it doesn't have the air fryer feature?
No, it does.
Okay.
Well, I'll get into that in a minute. So,
I'm skipping ahead here.
Yeah, right. So, it showed up. The box was pretty heavy. It's like a, I think it was like a 25 to 30 pound box. It was surprisingly a little heavy. The device is, the actual oven itself is not, is probably two thirds of that, maybe half to two thirds. It's not really that heavy. It's large. It takes up the space where I had my toaster oven, but it's like, about two and a half, three times the size of what my toaster oven was. I mean, and that's to be expected, and I knew it was, but it almost fits perfectly right where I had the toaster oven to replace it. And the extra space it did take up, that's where we would usually toss recycling and stuff, you know, that the kids did, would take, for me to take out because they're too lazy. But anyway, I got it out Saturday, pulled it out. It comes with two racks and, a drip tray with a cover that can act like a pan. It has a basket and you can fit a 9x12 pan in there. Like I had said last week, but I verified I have a 9x12 pan that you could push right in there, that it's a metal pan. It doesn't have like if you have a glass one, they typically have handles on the side. It doesn't have a handle in there. 9x13, I'm sorry. 9x13 you can fit in there without a problem. But the basket itself is, I believe, like 11 inches, maybe 10 and a half to 11 inches wide. So it's not a full 9x13 inch pan. And then the pan that they have that you could put stuff in, the roasting pan with the cover on it and everything, is a little bit wider than the basket. And that's what it came with. So I pulled it out. The reviews that I read on this thing, most of the negative reviews were like, this thing is confusing to work with and operate. And that's the biggest problem people have had with this. I don't understand what they're talking about. I read the directions. I think it's really easy to work this thing. It's pretty simple. You have a knob on it, which is like a selector knob, and it's also used for changing time and temperature. And then you have a handful of buttons in the front that have predetermined functions, some which match what you can set to in the menu. So there's like air fry, bake, broil, sear, roast, dehydrator, toast, and a few other things that you can set it to. And some of the buttons will automatically go right to that feature. Like the air fry button will go right there. There's a preheat button. There's a stage button. There's a light button. There's a temp time button. So in a nutshell, the way that you operate this thing, the simplest way to do it is you press the menu button, which there is a list of items in the menu. And you can select one of those like air fry, preheat, or all those things that I just gone through. And once you select that with the menu, you then press the temp time button. It'll allow you to set the temperature. And if you press the temp time button again, it allows you to set the time that you want it to go for. And when you've set both of those things, you press the start button, which is the dial that rotates. It's that you choose, you set the temperature and time with, and you push it to start. You also push it to pause. And then, and this is the one thing I really don't necessarily like slash, it's not that bad, but the thing that it does is when you start it, it's going to go through a preheat phase. So if you do like air fry for 15 minutes at 425 degrees, it's going to start up and preheat. And that usually takes like a minute or two, and it preheats really fast. And then it'll stop. It'll stay at that temperature, but it won't do anything, and it'll count down for 5 minutes. Now, in that 5 minute period, you have to repress the start button to go on to the next stage, you know, to continue the process. So what they do is they like, okay, here's the preheat phase. We're preheated. Stick your food in and let's go. So you put the food in, you press the start button. Now, you heard me say that there's a stage button on this thing. What the stage button allows you to do is you could say, all right, I want to preheat to 400 degrees. Then I want to run it at a bake, or I want to sear it quickly for like 5 minutes of 450 degrees. And then I want to let it bake or roast. I'm sorry, roast for, I don't know, 30 minutes at 350 degrees. And then I want to go back to a sear again. You know, and so you can do like up to 5 different stages. So I tried playing with that function right there. And while the stage function pretty much worked, it still wanted me to press the go ahead button, the start button after the preheat. So I gotta look more into that also, what it did. Now also, haven't quite figured out what the difference is between air frying and roasting and baking in this thing. Cause it's like, it seems to like be all the same thing. I suspect it might adjust the temperature between the bottom and the top heating elements to something different or not turn one of them on. And it also has a fan, an upper and lower fan, which you can adjust those. So maybe it does something with those too. But the manual really didn't make it clear as to like, why, like, what's the difference between roasting at 350 degrees and air frying at 350 degrees? I don't know.
Well, from what I've read, you should be able to air fry at lower temperatures for less time simply because the air is being pushed around whatever you're cooking.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. Like, This thing, you have the ability of adjusting the temperature. You can adjust the top and bottom fans and all those things. So like, I'm not 100% sure what it means to press air fry as opposed to roast.
It just cranks up the fans higher.
And maybe that's what it does. I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen specifically it do that yet. But first day it came out, we were having eggs and hash brown potatoes, which I usually do in the oven. I decided to do the potatoes in this. And normally my process for doing potatoes is I'll cube them up. I'll put them in boiling salted water for like 2 or 3 minutes, drain them, shake them up in the pan to bruise them up a little bit. Then, get them a little drier. Let them cool down for a few minutes. Mix oil in with them, salt, pepper, paprika sometimes. Then I'll put them in a oiled pan, 9x13 or maybe a little bit larger depending on how many I have, so they're in a single row. So there's a little bit of oil on the bottom of that, plus they have a little bit of oil on them. And I'll put them in the oven for usually 40 to 60 minutes at 425, and they get really, really crispy, right? Very crispy and a nice Maillard effect. I did them, since I never used this oven type before or worked with a convection oven, I followed the directions in a recipe. And using the air fry in a basket, 425, I only used 2 tablespoons of oil. I used olive oil since I wasn't using that much. And, you know, salted. It did the everything the same except only 2 tablespoons of oil in the whole thing. Put it in there. And in a half hour, I was very close to what I usually get in the oven, with a hell of a lot less oil than I typically use, and they tasted really great. Now, I probably could have left them in there a little while longer if I wanted to get them a harder crisp, but they were great. They were wonderful. The next day, I tried the toast feature out on this thing. So it says you can make 9 pieces of toast in this. I'm sure you can. I just figured out the toasting has different levels, 1 through 10, I think it is. And again, I'm like, so what's the difference between toast and me just setting it on bake at 425 or whatever? Anyway, the levels don't necessarily correspond 1 to 1 to a time. So like level 2 is going to put it on there for a minute. I think 2 minutes, 2.5 minutes. At 425. So when you first set it, when you first get it, and I didn't really read the directions on the toasting aspect of it, because the manual lists the times and everything in there, I put in a piece of bread and let it go where it defaulted at 5, and that was going to toast it at 425 for like 7 minutes. Needless to say, about 3 or 4 minutes in, it was getting pretty damn crispy, and so I took it out after that, but it worked great. Next day, I did a recipe out of their book. It was baked shrimp. We had some shrimp. I put that in there, and everybody loved it. It came out very well. The shrimp cooked in 12 minutes. I think it was at 400 degrees, and that was on the bake method, not on the air fry. And then I decided it was time to start doing some other things in it and play around with it. My daughter had some corn dogs that she likes to eat for lunch. So I did the corn dogs in there, and they turned out very, very well. They turned out just like having them in the oven, but it worked out faster.
Way better than the microwave.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I don't usually put them in a microwave anyway. So then it was time, you know, we had the food delivery on Monday, so it was time for the ubiquitous order of let's see how it does with the frozen pizza. So I got just a couple of frozen pizzas here. The first one I did was a Food Lion rising crust pepperoni pizza. I put that in the oven, followed the directions that were on the box, just did it 1 to 1 in the air fryer with the air fryer method on there, and it came out great. It worked perfectly. And then yesterday I decided to follow the kind of recipe that Wave Oven Reviews guy, who I've been talking about, did a great job. He put up a recipe for chicken tenders. I kind of followed what he did. So I got some chicken breast, cut it up into strips. I had my a half a cup of flour and a half a cup of cornmeal and a tablespoon each of garlic powder, onion powder, salt, and then pepper and oregano. Mix that all in there. Put in my had an egg, a cup of milk and an egg. Mix that up together. And then I did my usual. I dredged the chicken in to the flour mixture, put it in the egg and milk mixture, and then put it back in the flour mixture and breading mixture. And so it turned out great. Now, this is where I'm going to start to get into the issue that my concern, and it's still, I was proven true with this concern. It's great. I love this thing, but it's ideal for a family of three, maybe four, if you're looking to make, like, use this as your primary meal making thing. So typically if we eat chicken thighs or chicken leg quarters, that would be one quarter a person or two chicken thighs a person usually. You're not going to fit eight chicken thighs in the basket to do air frying in. So you would have to do two separate cooks or whatever. So it's not going to generally replace my primary oven for cooking like certain things. Now, it frees me up to do the chicken thighs in the oven if that's how I'm doing them, and then like roast some vegetables or something. That works great. You know, it's great having this extra thing. When I did the chicken tenders, I did them at 425 for 25 minutes, and I had to do them in two batches because I made for myself, well, for four people. When I cut up 2.5 chicken breasts, it was just, I couldn't fit all of it into one cook. So it had to be split out under two, 25 minutes apiece, which wasn't a big deal, but they turned out really good. Now, they weren't as crispy as if you fried them in deep fat fried them in oil. They weren't as crispy, but they tasted like almost like they were.
Plus much healthier.
Yeah. And so the only thing I did with those is after I had the breading on them and everything, I sprayed them with a little bit of canola oil and put them in, and they turned out wonderful. Everybody was like, man, this is great. Everybody was happy. Now, the one thing I hadn't had success on, right? I got myself 2 pounds of Roma tomatoes, and following the directions in the book, slice these things in half and put them in there to make sun-dried tomatoes under the dehydrator feature. And they were supposed to be done in 8 hours. Well, it's 24 hours later and I'm still doing it. And having then gone back and started looking some other like suggestions up on the web and making sun-dried tomatoes, the biggest problem I had is these were fairly, you know, large tomatoes, and I think they were too thick. Like, I should have sliced them a lot. I should have sliced it a lot thinner, and I probably would have had more success, because the smaller ones were finished in about 12 hours, 12 to 14 hours. And so if I would have done them in slices instead of halves, I would have probably had better success. Now, that being said, even though it took a long time, they taste fantastic. Like, I'm really happy with them, and I'm going to try again with thinner slices on the dehydrator. So I still consider that a success. I also made croutons out of it. Croutons turned out to be awesome. I had a loaf of sourdough bread. I cut those up into cubes, made croutons in like 15 minutes. Was happy with that. This morning, yesterday, before I went to bed, I made some pizza dough. And today, the pizza stone I got for this came. It's a 12-inch pizza stone. And I got that yesterday. I used that today with making my own handmade pizza. And that turned out fantastic. So I'm loving it. I really am. I'm loving it. it's great to have another oven and another method of cooking stuff available to me that frees up like more that I could do on regular meals. I think it comes really, a very handy for lunch. Obviously, I could do a lot more stuff for lunch because a lot of times I'm still finishing up whatever bread I'm making for the day when lunchtime comes around. So it kind of limits me from doing other things. With this, if I wanted to make chicken tenders by hand, slice up a few chicken breasts, bread them up and throw them in there, and it doesn't interfere with anything else I'm doing. So, I'm very happy with it. So if you were thinking, Joe, of getting an air fryer just for you and cooking your own stuff.
I am considering it, but, my problem is I don't know if I have the counter space for it.
If you get
yeah, that is a problem.
Yeah, if you get a smaller one, just like, a 3 to 5 quart one, if you're looking just for the air frying feature, you don't have to leave it on the counter all the time. You can pull it out and use it and put it away. Like I said, this replaced my toaster oven, so I didn't lose a lot of counter space.
Well, I would want the toaster oven air fryer combo.
And so if you got
or say you got a microwave.
Yeah.
Is it one over the stove?
Yeah.
Okay, so like the next time that sucker craps out, get a microwave with convection in it, and there you go. But I mean that's one option. I know the counter space thing because right now I have that problem. But we bought that little cheap $99 microwave from Walmart, and it has the air fryer in it, and I actually use both of them. And the thing I like about the air fryer is, if I'm cooking something in the oven that's one temperature, I can cook something in the air fryer that's another temperature and get everything done at the same time.
Absolutely. That is a huge benefit, Joel. Absolutely. Yeah. I love that.
Well, like I said, I tend to cook for myself, and if I'm making one person a meal, I don't see the point in, cranking up the oven.
Yeah, plus this thing, like when I preheat this thing, like I said, it's a minute. To get to 450, 425, 450, it's like a minute and a half. And it's ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a whole lot quicker than the oven.
Yep. I was going to say, neither of mine has a straight up preheat mode like yours does, Dan. But I usually just add a minute or two and just put it in and go,
Yeah, I'm been very happy with it so far.
Like,
and I definitely would love to try some fries that have been air fried.
Oh yeah,
without that, any oil.
Yeah, I mean it's like you eat fries and you don't get grease all over your fingers.
Right, and you're not getting the extra calorie from the oil as well.
That's the one thing I haven't tried in this yet. Is fries.
That's evidently pretty easy.
Yeah. Well,
yours doesn't have a tumble basket though, does it?
Doesn't need one.
No.
Well, you don't need the tumble basket. It just makes it easier.
Yeah. So the thing with the air frying of fries is, the basket, you put them in the basket. So long as the air can get around all the fries, like you only have one single layer, you don't need to worry about the tumble basket as like
right, tumble or basket shaking is, it partway through.
Yeah, the tumble basket is great to keep it spinning a little bit so the air gets pushed against all sides of the fry and you don't end up with like a soggy bottom. Because nobody wants a soggy bottom, Joe.
I can understand that.
Right. No. Yeah, the only thing I haven't tried, doing like chicken fingers in the tumble one. I have tried doing tots. Don't do that. It makes a mess.
I bet they probably fall apart halfway through, don't they?
Cause what happens, like, well, I was going to say, yeah, as they thaw out, because I put them in frozen, you know. So as they thaw out, you know, about a minute or so into the cycle, they start to disintegrate and make they get little bits of potato all over the bottom of it. But
don't get me wrong. I like doing the pan, you know, making the pizza on the stovetop.
Yeah.
Using the fry pan. But I'd also like to try using something a little thicker, like a pita bread or a lavash bread, and doing it in the oven.
Yep. Yep.
I mean, this
and
thing
I
works.
Like a couple times for lunch this week, I made a pizza. I used a bubbly crust, threw some sauce and cheese and pepperoni and other seasonings and stuff on it. Air fry for 10 minutes, actually 11 minutes, and it's perfect.
The
crust is still, it's not crispy crust, it's a soft but chewy crust. You know, kind of what I like.
If you are looking for something that does want to do pizza, and you're looking for 12 inches, this thing is 13 inches wide, fits 12 inch pizza, works perfectly. If you are making your own pizza from like scratch and using a dough crust, you need to get a pizza stone or a pan to put in there, because obviously you do not. I mean, you can put tin foil, aluminum foil on the rack and put it on that way, but you can't just put like that on a rack because the dough would just fall through. Now,
right.
A pita or a bowl. Right, what are they called? Boboli crust?
Lavish.
Lavish. They're kind of thicker and sturdier.
Yeah,
you could do that without like a problem bread. In here with anything. Yeah. that would work perfectly.
Yeah. Yep, exactly. Yeah, and that's what I use, because there's a, mine actually kind of came with two pans. Actually, I'll have to try putting some, like, either making up some dough in my bread maker, which I've done before, and then roll it out or spread it out and then put it on, because it actually has, like, a, it has my microwave came with the air frying mode, has like a kind of a metal stand it came with, it's coated in nonstick stuff. And then on top of that, it has a pan with holes in it. And that's usually what I use with the boboli crust, because the air can circulate all the way around the crust and make it really just delicious. And, but it also came with one that has no holes in it. And I haven't tried using that, which I guess you could use that like to bake cookies in it if you wanted to. I don't know that I want to try that because I'm not supposed to really eat cookies. But, you know, I tried trying to get better at that and I'm feeling miserably.
Well, there are some recipes I found that for high-protein cookies – and brownies that you might enjoy.
Brownies would probably be easier. Like, now that's like the little Atkins treats I found. Those are really good, the cheesecake ones, and they have a like a brownie one with caramel in the middle, which is, you know, they're all low carb on those. But
well, some of the recipes are pretty simple. It's like two servings of egg white, protein powder and a little bit of cocoa, stir it up, put it in a microwave it for a minute. Voila.
Yep. A lot of times some of those recipes are like, especially the protein low carb cookie recipes are pretty darn good and simple. I've seen a lot of them like that. Like, I made a little, what they call it, cloud bread, I think it is. With egg whites and cheese. I forget what else is in it.
No, that's basically it. Egg whites and cheese.
Yeah. And that usually comes out pretty well. It does poof up. But especially if you whip it long enough, like in a nice stand mixer or something.
You know, that seems to be a common solution. Just whip it till it's right.
Yep. But yeah, well, basically, like you would for making a meringue. You know, beat a lot of air into it, and then there's your poof. So, and then just kind of wrap in the cheese. Parmesan usually, grated Parmesan. But, That's like, that's another thing too. Little trick I've tried, Dan, when I, like if I'm making a bubbly pizza crust or something, I'll put like the sauce and the cheese and the rest of the toppings on. But then my last things I do is I'll take like a sprinkle of Parmesan over top, even over the top of the pepperonis, a little bit of garlic and some oregano. And that just really makes it, I think. I like it that way. But when I make my own at home.
Yeah. Oh, I made some rich killers.
What killers?
Rich killers. I had some leftover chili from when I made it, and then I air fried some hot dogs and made some chili dogs.
Ah, there you go.
That sounds really good.
They turned out, the hot dogs turned out great.
Now, have you tried air frying a hot dog?
No, that's what I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
they come out great.
Yeah, no, they come out really good.
Super easy.
Not barely an inconvenience.
Right?
Heck, and I think, yeah, as much as I like doing a spiral cut when I do them on the grill, I think just slicing them down the middle would work too.
Yeah, the last time I made them on the grill, I sliced them down the middle and they turned out really well. I should have, you know what? Yep. I should have air fried them with them sliced down the middle. What was I thinking?
Yeah. Yeah. Give you that nice little, crevice to put chili in and.
I should have done that. But that made for a good lunch.
Actually, there you do. Here's what you do. All right. You cut them down the middle and air fry them. And then when they come out, get you them cheddar cheese sticks and stick that in the middle of that, in that crack before you put the chili on it. So then you have those cheesies, cheese and chili.
Wait, where'd you say you're putting that?
In the crack.
In the crevice of the hot dog. That poor Rich doesn't eat anymore. Rich killers. I loved it. Good hot dogs are good. Hot dogs are good, man. Maybe I should buy another pack of them next time I go to the store. It'll probably be Friday.
Hot doggy dog.
Yeah, we'll do, like when we shop now, even with COVID, like I said, I just go, but I try and go towards the end of the day. So, or at a less busy time. So then, I'll go usually the Sam's Club on Friday, and then we'll hit Meijer on Saturday, like mid-afternoon. And I generally don't have too much of a problem. I don't like, we do have a Kroger's in Dublin here, which Kroger's used to be my go-to, but this one up here is always jammed. And I can't, especially with the virus, I'm not comfortable going to that store at all because it's always that way. It doesn't matter what time of the day you go, there's a bazillion people there. And Myers, I usually don't have that much of a problem with. They also seem to be a bigger store anyway, because they have like clothing and electronics department and stuff like that. It's more like a super Walmart, so it's got a lot more space to stay socially distanced from people. Which actually, I don't like that term. I like the term physically distant, because you can be social. We're being social right now, talking to each other here on the show. So socially distance is kind of a bad word. I just don't like that word. Because you can be social without being next to each other.
Does the stuff that you print in a 3D printer, it's not food safe, is it?
No, generally not. Even the food safe plastics are not safe when it comes to being 3D printed and then eating off of them without a special polypropylene coating.
Yep. All right. The nozzle on a 3D printer is brass and it has lead in it.
Yeah, that's easy to get around.
But the other problem is because even at like a super thin layer level, there's still like little tiny crevices that food can go into. So even if you do wash it, it still won't all come out of it.
Now, having said that, you can still like use one of the hardened steel nozzles and print yourself out a fork and a spoon and only use them once and then throw them away. Because the problem is after you use them the first time, you can't, you'll never be able to actually get them clean. And if you're using something like, PLA, you sure as heck can't stick them in the dishwasher.
No, I mean, now, then this is something that's probably okay. But making a cookie cutter out of PLA usually works pretty well. But I did that once and I made some cookies with it and I just left it in the sink like I usually do. And that was a mistake. The wife threw it in the dishwasher and boops.
Yeah, but that was fun to clean up.
It wasn't that bad. It didn't like completely melt.
It just deformed.
It was pretty deformed.
it might be difficult to wash too. Now you can get higher temperature 3D printing materials, of course, but then you know you need a higher quality printer to do it, and you still got to coat them in something.
Yep. Or actually another, let's say another option you probably could do is you could do like, make a mold out of it.
Yep.
Well, wash the mold really good and then you can pour in like, either some resin or food safe resin, of course.
Even if you made a mold out of it, the mold is going to have the same problem because it's still going to fill all those crevices. They're just going to be reversed. So, how would that not still be a problem?
That's a really good point. Well, you know what? How I think it probably wouldn't be? It's because those crevices are there, but a resin might be more resistant to the temperature, so you can just stick it in the dishwasher and probably be okay, I think. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Or the other alternative would be you could use I guess you could use aluminum, probably. That might work. Something like that.
What? Oh, okay.
Smell it down.
The aluminum. Yeah, okay. Right. I see what you're saying there.
Like, you would have to use something other than like silicone, of course. You'd have to use something like, you probably make a mold out of sand, I think. I'd have to look into that. I've never done anything like that because it's like hot temperatures, burning kind of things. I don't really enjoy getting burnt. and I don't really have a place to do that here.
I was going to say something, completely forgot what it was.
That's a lot of the prop makers who will 3D print and then they'll make a silicone mold before they make the mold. They'll just fill the print in and sand it and make it nice and smooth, and get rid of the layer lines. So, then they'll cast it and then it looks perfect, you know? So, you know.
Well, maybe they also do a polypropylene coating there as well.
It could. Polypropylene. Yeah, I wouldn't need, I mean, who's talking with, one day, a while ago, John Watson, I think, from, the Jack Attack, and, he said he tried 3D printing a little cup for Kelly to use with her paints. And because that's the other thing too, is a lot of times because of the layers, you can play around with it. You can probably make it watertight, but you got to play around with it quite a bit.
Yeah, and get lucky.
Yeah, so very often it looks good or it looks like it's watertight, but it really isn't. So, I mean, so it'll leak through it.
If you're doing it for like paints or something, then you can use something else for your coating. That wouldn't be as big of a deal, you know, a couple of 50-cent packs of super glue.
Yep. One of these days I would like to,
I'd probably work with something a little tackier than super glue. Yeah. But JB Weld would do perfect.
Yeah. Interesting. I really want a resin printer for my next printer, though. Those things are not too expensive now. They're way down from where they were.
Prices are down, but they're usually still fairly small sized.
Yeah.
And they're more of a mess.
They are.
And more maintenance.
After you get the print off, you have to wash it with isopropyl to get the rest of the resin off.
Right. You got to drain it.
And then you have to
wash it.
You have to cure it in the UV light, which you either get, either put it outside.
Well, you're talking about the print itself. I was talking about the machine.
Right. Well, yeah, that too. Well, and actually, now that's the other thing too, is depending on, the machine. Most of them, if you want to do different colors of resin, it's not like you can just switch out the tank or pull the tank out and put another color right in, because that generally doesn't work.
Nope.
You have to have another tank for that color. So basically for every color you want to print with a resin printer, you got to have another tank. So, and depending on which one you buy, that could be expensive. Like, Forb Labs one, which that's a pricier one to begin with. Each one of those are like, I think they were $400 if I remember right. They were expensive.
Yeah. I mean, it'll get easier and it'll get cheaper. And maybe the regular style of 3D printing will at the same time as well. So we'll see what comes in the future.
Yep. Yep. And now, and if I ordered another like Ender style printer, I call the CR10 Mini is still an Ender style as far as I'm concerned. You can use most of the same parts. Actually, I take that back. The Form Labs Form 2 resin tanks are about $60 a piece. So, not expensive. Not as expensive. Still expensive over time, though. And you also have to replace them eventually, too, because the layer on the top will get
rusty.
War. Yeah. But, no, the Creality printers, if I bought another one of them, probably what I would do is I'd probably set one up, like I'd take this one I have and put like a huge nozzle, like a 0.6 or 0.8 nozzle on it so I can have faster prints on it. For some of the things.
Yeah, I got some 0.8s and 0.6s and 1.0s. But I just haven't used them yet. I don't want to go through all the change in setup.
That's it. Exactly why I haven't done it yet. Is because it's just like, I don't really want to mess with it. I want to put it on. I want to load the filament and be done with it, you know, and let it, and just use it over and over and over again. And I don't want to have to switch it up and then, yeah, you know, if I want to switch to something that's going to require more detail, then, and plus there's also making the adjustments to the configuration so that you can have different profiles for the nozzles and whatnot in Cura, but it's like, no, I'd rather do it almost two similar printers, but what, maybe one a little larger, and then that way, that one I could put the larger nozzle on too for that and be done with it.
Well, not only that, but there's only going to be specific prints.
right.
that I want to do with the larger nozzle. There's only a couple of large things that I print that need to be printed quicker and can be printed with the lower detail.
Yep.
Seriously, I mean, so what am I going to do? Just switch the nozzle out every time I print something different?
Yeah, no.
Not really. I'm lazy.
Yep. Yep.
But I have seen a couple of people locally just selling off their 3D printers. I guess they bought them, found out they were more work than they thought, and decided to get rid of them. Like, I saw an ANET A8 for like $170-180 on the marketplace.
Huh. Yeah, that's like, there's certain things I designed. Like, for lack of a better term, it looks like a table almost. I designed it in Fusion 360. What I did was I basically made it, right now what I kind of use it for is I put my Pi keyboard on top of it, where I'm working. That way it doesn't take up real estate on my desk when I'm not using it, you know? But that took a while to print because the legs are pretty long. I can fit a coffee cup underneath it. But that took a while. But it doesn't need to have the detail. It just needs to have the structural integrity. If it has a little bit of ribbing on it, I don't really care. In fact, that could be a reason to run a larger nozzle is if you want that ribbing, because sometimes that's desirable.
I just looked it up. I don't know what this one originally cost, but here's a 3D printer on the local marketplace for $179. It's actually one of the resin printers. $179. It's an, let me see, the model number is...
The
LD-002R.
Yep, that's a Creality one.
Yeah, and those are probably, what, almost a $300 printer?
No, they're right now. I think they're going for $199 if I remember right.
Okay. So yeah. And then here's a FlashForge Finder for $250. I don't know what those cost originally either. Oh, $300. Those were originally $300, but it really doesn't look like this guy ever used it. Like, you did a couple of test prints and then just like, nope, I'm getting rid of it.
See, and that's where, I've always wanted, I don't even know if they're still around, but we had a makerspace here in Columbus, and they do, like, once you pay to take a class there, you can join it for, like, fairly cheaply per year, and you can use the printers and stuff, and they have some Form 2 printers and stuff like that, but the problem is 3D printing can take a long time. So it's like, I don't really want to sit in the makerspace the whole time I'm waiting for the print, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you're doing a larger print, I think some of the longest prints I've done at home were 24 hours.
I've got something I want to print, but I haven't because the estimated print time is 2 days.
Yeah. Yeah. And when I switch back to PETG again, I know I'm going to have to slow the speeds down even more. I know my printer is still fine because I had to switch back to PLA for a print and it came out perfect.
Yep. Yep, I just looked this up. Creality LD-002R LCD resin printer, $199 at Micro Center.
Yeah.
Which I would gladly pay that because it's not a bad printer.
Here's an Ender. The Ender 3D printer, so it must be the Ender 3, not the Pro or anything like that. It looks like it's been mildly upgraded, so it's fully functional. $150.
There you go.
Here's the Ender 3 Pro, not the V2, but the Pro, $220, which isn't that much of a savings, because I think they're selling now for less than $250.
Yep. Yep. And I wouldn't mind. I have the Wanhao i3 Mini. I would not mind the version 2 of that, because the version 2 of that actually has a heated platform.
Heated bed.
Yep. And what's funny on that, as I looked at seeing, trying to see, can I get the parts and upgrade my i3 Mini to the heated bed?
Nope.
I can't find anybody has them. You know, it wouldn't take much. I might not even have to swap the board out, you know. Might have to flash it, but nope, I can't find those parts anywhere. So it's like, and that's kind of one reason why I don't really like the One House as much. I mean, they're good printers. They print well, and you can get like the common things like, you know, Bowden tubes.
Yeah.
And nozzles and stuff like that.
A lot of their other parts are extremely interchangeable too. I mean, the motors are bog standard.
Well, on One House?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah. It depends on what it is, you know.
Not the duplicators.
Yeah.
The i3.
You talk about things like you talk about things that are like the, well, you can get them. It's just, I think it's easier to find the Creality parts. That's
I don't
all
know. I don't know about like the Mini. Yeah. Much easier to get right. The Creality parts.
Much
I understand. It's not the yeah. easiest thing in the world to get the prices for the One How duplicators, but it
no.
is, the nice thing is that there are other things that are close that will work. I mean,
right,
that's
true.
What I do with my, you know, Monoprice Maker Select, V2,
right.
which is a direct clone of the, One How duplicator i3.
Right, right.
I don't know if there's a clone for the Mini.
What I want to know is why Aldi here in the States has never gotten, the Cocoon printers that, which are One How rebrands, but they have opened over in Australia, like, what's his face, Angus from Maker's Muse. I need to actually look on his channel. I haven't looked on his channel lately.
Yeah, looking at things right now, the price per performance, if I were
yep.
to purchase another one, and, you know, I might if the rest
yep.
of the Honeydew expenses stop piling up, it would be the V2, the
yep.
Ender 3 V2.
Yep.
Because it has all the upgrades
3...
most people normally do for the Ender Pro 3.
Right. I'm going to say it has a BL Touch on it, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, it has the ability to do BL Touch. Like,
right.
built in. All you got to do is hook up the connector and set up the mount for it, and you're
and
off to
the
races.
And the silent boards and the...
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Ender, their entire line... from the 3 forward, they're all running the 32-bit silent board now.
Right. Yep. And I would probably look at, if I were to stick with FDM, CR10 V2, probably.
Yeah, I've heard good things and bad things about
good.
The CR10.
Yep.
And that's that was the crowdsourced one where basically everybody got to pick the features that went into it, right?
Right. I think so. I can't remember. I mean, don't get me wrong. I wouldn't mind a CR30, but.
Oh, is that the one with the,
that's
rolling bed? Yeah.
Yep. Just cause I like, you know, I wouldn't mind making a sword. Could come in handy around this house.
Yeah, I don't know.
Make my own lightsaber.
Talk about,
I mean,
2-day prints now.
Yeah, I know, right? Well, actually, what I had to look at it. I was going through, cause that's like.
Okay, now I have to figure out, what time I'm gonna run out of my third roll of filament.
Yeah, there you go. Where was it at? One of the Facebook pages today, I saw somebody had modified like a CR10, I think, or maybe it was a Soval. I can't remember. But they had a hopper on it. It had bits of used, like the little bits of PLA that you cut off the end of the roll,
mm-hmm.
Or maybe some, you know, maybe failed prints and stuff crunched up and stuff in a hopper. feeding the nozzle. And I thought, why doesn't somebody do that?
Well, they've been making things to do that for a long, long time now.
Right. Well, and actually one of my favorite things I saw at Murph, which I don't even know if they're having this year. We'll talk about a couple of those kinds of things here in a minute. Geeky kind of conventions. One of the ones they had, a couple years ago, a guy built this printer. It was tall, like almost as tall as the building where Murph was. And it fed up, it had a vacuum that basically sucked up pellets, PLA pellets out of these barrels. And what it had like a,
okay, a 3D pellet printer. Okay, yeah.
Like, it was a stupid large nozzle on it, because what they were printing was actually stools that you could sit on.
Which is cool. But no, the ones I'm talking about are, like, for home use. And what they do is they take all your dog ends of the filament, and they heat them up, they mix them up, and then they uniformly extrude them at 1.75 millimeters.
Oh, yes. And none of them really work well.
Yeah. You start mixing brands and weird stuff happens. Plus, it's probably difficult to get all of that really, really clean.
And consistent.
And consistent.
Yeah. Which, I've never had a problem with almost any, I've bought in Solutech, Inland, everyone, Eryone, I think I could say everyone. In fact, that's my the transparent I have is everyone, and I have a gold roll of, gold silk everyone on the printer now. And Hatchbox I've also printed with, that's good stuff too. The only thing that I never really liked was the sample that it came with. I never liked the Creality stuff that it came with, but, I'm real picky. Like, I won't, like there's some really cheap ass PLA out there. I just won't mess with it. Buy quality filament and you don't have the problem. Cause one of the problems is the problem of recycling your PLA is that if the diameter of that filament changes, it's going to change how things feed. Mm-hmm.
It's too thin, it's not going to feed.
Right. Or it's either not gonna feed, or it's gonna jam, or other things, and it's just not a good idea. But those 3D printed stools though, I just thought of something. I need stools for the new house. But yeah, see if I can order some of those.
Oh, okay. I was gonna say you don't have a giant 3D printer.
No, I don't. But maybe I could see if that guy's making them and selling them online. I'd definitely buy three or four of them because they looked pretty cool. Because they use a really large nozzle. It actually did. You could see all the layer lines. That'd be fine on a stool. I think it'd look cool on a stool.
Oh yeah. Or like those cement printers.
Yeah.
They do that giant thick layer.
Oh, the Idea Foundry is closing. That's the makerspace. I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, yeah. Kind of hard to maintain membership right now.
Just a little bit hard. Yeah, that's right. When a few years ago at the Ohio Linux Fest, Douglas McElroy, they made a steampunk clock and gave it to him at OLF. Which is really cool. But yeah, that's sad. Because Idea Foundry is one of those things I've always wanted to see. I just never got around to it. Because time.
Yep, that one's a killer.
Yep, and then our radio shop... the in-person storefront is officially closed, and when they sell out of everything, they're done. They're not selling anymore. And then, to go back to talk about, HamFest, Linux Fest, and other things, HamCom, which is the largest, HamFest in Texas, has closed its doors for good. They're not going to have a 2021 show. They didn't have one last year, and they're not going to have any more at all. And So that's one thing I heard of. Dayton Hamvention for 2021 has also been canceled already. That was scheduled for May, and here it is January. So hopefully 2022 will bring that back.
I hope so, too.
And I don't know anything about Linux Fest yet. I want to check in itself, Southeast Linux Fest. So,
yeah, cause I don't have anything listed yet.
Yeah, I was talking with my boss, and I said, man, I hope that this year doesn't, you know, because I love my family, but when I go to Linux Fest, I like to go by myself. Because I can't get either one of them to come to see any of the talks or nothing. So it's like, you know, and yeah. For me, it's all about seeing Dan.
My family's Alan. Not interested, so.
Yeah. I want to see you guys. When I take my family with me, it's just, no, doesn't work. So, not to mention that, it's good for me to get around, get out by myself, you know. And that's like, I didn't really think about it, but, like last week, I decided I'd buy a case for my iPad. Not like a case that holds the iPad, that you use the iPad in the case, but one that'll hold the iPad and the charger and a couple other things, you know. Made by TomTalk Padfolio. So it has like a divider in the middle and all that. I bought that and I thought, well, right now, the only place I'm going to use it is when I go to church. Cause I took it to a board meeting with me. But it's like, you know, cause we did have an in-person board meeting, you know, about around a big old table, you know, we're all apart from each other wearing masks, but it's like, the thing that I really miss right now is just traveling, whether it's to see my dad or to just go out and go to Linux Fest or a 3D printer thing. I don't have any idea if Murph's gonna happen. You know, I need to see, you know, if Murph's not gonna happen, I know Hamvention's not gonna happen. If I can't go to Southeast Linux Fest, I might see if there's like a way I could get to a retro gaming festival.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid that a lot of that, just even from missing just 1 year, might do them in. As in, yeah. They can't do it again.
Well, I know they didn't do Texas Linux Fest last year, and they were planning on doing it in Austin anyway, so I wasn't going to be able to go. So they probably won't do it this year, but if they do, I really hope they do it in the Dallas area again.
Although, you know, it could have the reverse effect that because people couldn't do it for a year or two, that they're going to want to do it even more and get a bigger turnout.
This yeah, it'll true. Also depend. You got to remember, the Dallas area has pretty bad numbers right now. So if there's a major turnaround, then maybe.
See, the thing I just don't want to happen is because a lot of, like, you know, Southeast Linux Fest actually was relatively successful with their a virtual event, I think, from last year. But I did go to, actually, I am on their website right now, southeastlinuxfest.org. This is a real life event, June 11th through the 13th, 2021. Same place it was last few years, the Sheraton Charlotte Airport.
Well, hopefully that'll happen.
I'm hoping so too. But what I hope doesn't happen, though, is that all Linux Fests go virtual because part of the, like I said, probably the thing I miss the most about going to Linux Fest is just talking to Dan, going to dinner with Dan, or maybe Graybeard or Mordancy,
yeah.
Yeah, and just shooting shit around the table.
Absolutely.
Mongolian.
Look, we got to wrap this up. But before we wrap this up,
we do. It's getting late.
We gotta. Oh man, we should have opened with this.
Yes.
Patrick Archibald died. Well, he was killed.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Yes, he was. He was struck while riding his bike on the 1st of January of this year.
So
yep.
That's our the long Linux Fest, time I always, of the show.
Did he ever go to OLF? I don't think he ever went to OLF.
I thought he did. I thought he was like at a lot of the Linux Fest. I remember him being at a lot of the Linux Fest, and I thought OLF was one of them.
Well, I know he always went to Southeast Linux Fest because that was in either South right. Carolina or North Carolina, and he lived in North Carolina, didn't he? I can't remember. I'd have to look. But it actually, yeah, there was actually, that kind of goes to one of my other things where I'm trying to look at other, and this really has, well, it has some things to do with the stuff that this nation's going under, specifically, with, Parler, I'm not going to say anything about the political ramifications with that or about why they did it, but they were taken off AWS and Amazon's going to do what they want to do. That doesn't bother me much, but it got me more thinking about federated social networks and specifically Mastodon. And when you brought up and I'm on Fostodon. That's the instance
right,
I'm using.
Fostodon.
And it's really good, actually. Claudio's over there. Link's joined up over there. But one thing they did over there on Fostodon, the friends who knew Patrick Archbold, last weekend, they started sharing pictures of either bike rides or bikes. And that was really nice. Because Patrick Archbold, he's one of these guys, like, he would never talk about politics unless it was something specifically with open source. You know, so he was really, everyone I've ever known has had nothing but good to say about the man.
He's a good guy. He was. He was
so
nice.
And I'm going to miss him.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep. And I remember he brought you guys stuff too at one year, if I remember right.
He may have. I don't recall. But we do got to wrap this up because.
Yep, it's getting late.
It is
yep.
really late. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Keep Patrick Archbold in your thoughts, prayers, whatever. His family.
Absolutely.
And, we'll see you next week. 7 days. Here we go. Have a happy week. Stay safe, everybody. Hear your promos.
Oh, my God.
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.org.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I gotta wrap this up. I gotta get to bed. I'm tired. Say goodnight, Joel.
Good night, Joel.
Get the recording going. With little Joel. Man, I keep getting emails for a neck massager.
/ vibrator.
Yeah. I think that's what it is. I haven't opened them up. I usually just delete it. Get the best self-massage at, oh, the subject's cut off, at an effective price. I wish it, all right. I'm going to bite the bullet and show the remote content on this page. Oh, wait a minute. It actually is a neck massager. It looks like headphones without the headphones, you know, and it just wraps around your neck and it's got two things. Wow. Imagine my disappointment. It's not the neck massager that I used to see advertised in those old time catalogs.
Those three prong ones that were obviously not neck massagers.
Yeah, that came from my grandparents or something. What was it? Is this like some kind of company store, kind of like catalog, but not the company store, because that's a whole different thing. Did you get yourself a neck massager, Joe?
No. Well, yeah.
You repair them, right?
No, I am married.
And?
She's a neck massager.
Oh, there you go. Oh. I wonder how much it costs, like, how much they charge to repair real dolls.
I expect it would be a lot. That's a very specialized market to begin with.
And they're pretty damn expensive.
Yeah, and finding someone who could actually work on one if it broke would probably be difficult.
Oh man, there's... I didn't realize there were so many different companies. Premium dolls, sexy real sex dolls, Racy Me, Annie's Dollhouse.
I bet it's a booming market right now considering all the lockdowns.
Yeah. Silicone Wives, there we go. Oh, wait. This is a blog. Wow. High-end luxury dolls. Standard dolls, fetish dolls, doll alternatives. So here's your choice, Joe. You can get big breast, big ass, MILF, flat-chested, celebrity, or anime and fantasy.
You know, I really don't think that my wife would appreciate it if I did that at all, especially considering the cost.
It's $2,000. You know what? You could print one.
I suppose if I could get some silicone. But once again, I'm pretty sure I'd get stabbed.
Yeah, no.
A lot.
Oh man, what was that?
Ooh.
Look at that. There, I knew that would bring him coming running. We talk about the real doll.
Right?
Please.
Joel's like, I got three of them. You need suggestions?
No.
Oh, did you ever see the movie Lars and the Real Girl?
No. No.
It's pretty fun. It's pretty, it's like a black comedy. It's pretty out there.
Did you ever see Mannequin?
Yes, that was, that Daryl Hannah?
Kim Cattrall.
Oh, it was Kim Cattrall?
Yep.
Oh. That was an 80s movie.
1987.
Yep.
Andrew McCarthy, Kim Cattrall, Estelle Getty.
I think she was the owner of the store, if I remember right.
Yeah. And G.W. Bailey. From Police Academy.
A security guard.
Wait, who's G.W. Bailey?
He was
Harris, antagonist Lieutenant Harris.
In Police Academy.
Oh, okay, okay, yeah. I didn't recognize the name. Who was the guy? What was the guy's name that like all he ever did in 80s movies was make sound effects?
Oh, Motormouth.
Michael
Winslow.
Okay, that's right.
Did he beatbox guy?
Did he ever get any role that wasn't that?
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
He was in Spaceballs, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah, he was in Spaceballs. Yep.
Basically doing the exact same thing, though.
Yeah.
Yep.
A wrestling Christmas miracle.
The beeps, the something and then the creeps. Oh, dear God.
Yeah, I don't... Huh. I'd probably say something in the 80s, maybe not even the 90s, he probably did all that. Although he played a reporter in Going Under in 1991. He was in Harry and the Hendersons TV series.
I vaguely remember the Harry and the Henderson TV series. Vaguely. Oh, he was in Star Trek.
Of course. That wouldn't surprise me. He was probably an alien or something. A lot of people were.
Wait, what Star... Was he in the Next Generation?
Bobcat.
No, Star Trek.
No, the original Star Trek?
Yeah.
Oh, he's in Sharknado 3! He's Richard, 3. I bet you. He's in Sharknado really? 3. Oh, hell no.
Sharknado.
Brian Jonesy Jones. Wait, how far back do I have to go?
Spaceballs, yeah.
Monsignor?
Cheech and Chong's next movie in 1980.
Wait, what's Star Trek?
Well, it just said that he was in Star Trek on his wiki page.
I don't see it listed.
Now, are you looking at movies or TV shows?
I'm looking at actor credits.
What says it on the wiki page?
So it's got to be true. I read it on the internet.
Wait, it's...
Was that Rich?
It is Rich. So, yeah, Pat, are you putting an order in for your Kel-Tec P-50?
No, I got everything I need.
Oh, no. I was wrong. He wasn't in Star Trek. His first television appearance was The Gong Show, in which he squeezed in sound alikes of Benji the Movie Dog, Star Trek, and Jimi Hendrix's Purple Haze. So he wasn't in Star Trek. He was making Star Trek noises.
Oh, well,
that's what I get for skimming.
How many careers did the Gong Show launch?
I see Marion Ramsey, who was Hooks on Police Academy, she died.
I don't know, that's a good question.
There was a Police Academy TV series?
No.
Yeah, there was, and it was awful.
And he was in it.
You know what? You would think that there should be an easily found webpage of how many careers did the Gong Show launch, and I'm not finding it.
Damn that internet thing.
Although, well, maybe it's on this one. Oh, yeah. I guess we should...
One season. 26 episodes?
Of what? 26 episodes, what? Police Academy?
Police Academy.
No freaking way. I can't believe they did 26 episodes. Meanwhile, the 100 does, like, you know, 12 to 16 episodes a season. I'm so disappointed the 100 is done. I've watched it all.
I forgot there was a Police Academy TV series.
Well, I finally watched the last episode. Last episode of season 3 of Disco.
Is the Orville ever coming back?
Oh, right. Yeah, I don't know how many episodes I'm into season 3 of Discovery. How many episodes did they have for season 3?
I have to look.
I'm going to say 10?
Yeah, that might be right. They're theorizing that, I won't tell you.
I don't care.
Yeah. At the end of season 3, Michael Burnham's the captain of the Discovery. That's the only thing. Of course.
Whatever. Affirmative action gets you everywhere.
Well, they are in a different century too, so.
29th century.
Way ahead of TNG. There are 13 episodes.
The Expanse came back. I enjoyed that.
It's funny. I watched the first season of that and just never really got into it.
It's like me and Firefly. I never could get into that either.
Firefly's awesome.
See, you can't say that, Joel, and be a techie. I mean,
I can. It's just...
Some thoughts you gotta just keep to yourself.
I've been meaning to watch The Expanse. I have not yet.
The Mandalorian was awesome this year.
Yep.
I liked it.
It was.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to get 2 shows next year.
Yep.
What's Boba 2 shows Fett mean? Show and Mandalorian.
Season, what, 3 of The Mandalorian, season 1 of The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh, yep. So are you guys aware that the 5,000-page COVID bill makes streaming that used to be, you know, streaming pirated content? It's now not legal.
Yes. They snuck it in.
Like, you said, it was, to begin with.
That's why it was so many pages, and they had, what, 2 hours from the time it was handed to them to the time they needed to sign it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think anybody that does anything like that with a 5,000-page bill, I guess I can't say what I think in public.
Yeah.
Probably not.
Pretty messed up.
I meant to play around a little bit with another Docker container on my Pi.
I still got that 1UP arcade to put together. I just haven't put it together yet.
We'll start the show. You can talk about it.
But I've been taking out of the box.
Man, what you waiting for? Start the show. You can talk about it.
Oh, and then Dan took delivery of his air fryer too.
Morning for duty.
You mean convection oven?
Whatever. You got it, didn't you, Dan?
Yeah, I did. I got stuff to say about that. Oh. Alright, here we go.
I hear a fight. I gotta go resolve it.
Uh-oh. Cats? Dogs?
Maybe not. Hey, calm down. No, cats? Luke and Mom.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh.
Luke and his mother. I don't know.